third one. This morning, I'd like to look at verse 10. Proverbs 31, and looking at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this morning. Dear Lord, we're thankful for this time that we have that we can worship Thee, and in doing so, we can give honor and praise to our mothers. And dear Father, we're just thankful for the ability that You've given them and the wisdom that You've given them, dear Lord. And Father, we just praise You for all that You've done. And Lord, we just pray that You speak to us this morning. And dear God, if there's anybody here that is lost, I pray this is the time You speak to their hearts and draw them unto Yourself. Cause us, dear Lord, to realize that these things that we'll be looking at this morning are that God grants it, dear Father. There are things that is within the capability of our mothers. And dear Father, we just thank You for those who have done so. And dear Lord, what You do for us, we'll thank You and praise You for these things You do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to this morning is the characteristics of a godly mother. The characteristics, the things that you'll find in a godly mother. Now, I do this every time, and I think it's important that I do this every time when we look at mothers on Mother's Day. And that is to point out the fact that just because there may be a lady or some ladies here who have not given birth to a child, does not in any way, shape, or form demean you. It doesn't mean you're less of a person. It doesn't mean that you're being punished from God. It doesn't mean that God is frowning upon your life. It's not that anything of that at all. It's just one of those things that God in His infinite wisdom has chosen some to be mothers and some not. I don't want to make anybody here that's not a mother feel bad. Because, as I've already said, it's not a punishment from God. It's nothing that you're being dealt with harshly about. Today is the day that has been set aside as for the purpose of honoring our mothers. I don't know if you remember, but this time last year, Mother's Day, was our first Sunday back after we had to take off for a while due to COVID. And it was good to be back that Sunday, wasn't it? It's still good to be back to be here today. And so it's good to be in God's house. It's proper that we give honor to our mothers. The Bible tells us that we are to honor our parents, are we not? And that goes both ways, both fathers and mothers, and we'll take care of the dads next month. But today we're going to be looking at mothers and godly mothers. And I realize that this is a difficult day for some. It's a difficult day for those who have lost their mothers. It's a difficult day for those who may be a mother and have lost their children. It's a difficult day for those whose relationship with their mothers is not as it should be, and certainly not like it ought to be. And it's a difficult day for those who don't have children. This is a difficult day as well as a joyous day. And this morning, I want to focus our attention to the joys, the good things, and how that is possible within the realm of every single mother to be a godly mother. Now, I realize that it is far more difficult today than it once was. The demands upon lives are a lot more stringent than they once were. As I've said before, that their time was, I remember, I guess I was coming up on the tail end of it, but I can remember when moms could stay at home if they chose to, they wished to. They could stay home. If a dad could go out and work a job at the sawmill or in the coal mines or in the woods or wherever, work 5 days a week, buy a house and live comfortably. Well, times have changed, haven't they? It's not quite that way anymore, and it's a lot more difficult, I realize. But these are still characteristics that can be present and need to be present in our lives. This is a very familiar passage to look at, Proverbs 31, and it is often used on Mother's Day. I've used it on Mother's Day before because it fits. It is something that is very applicable to Mother's Day, and so the attributes that we find here in Proverbs 31 is something that's already pretty well known. But I did want to point out something that I found as I was studying this that I didn't know before. And that is, today, we really don't fully appreciate what we're told about this woman in this passage that we read. Today, when you think of somebody as being virtuous, and there's nothing wrong with the way that we think of it today, but you think, when we think of a person who is virtuous, we think primarily of a person who has moral purity. You think of a virtuous person as a person who is morally upright, a person who is morally clean, do we not? However, this is not, the word has a lot more punch to it, a lot more meaning to it than that. The word, the Hebrew word, when it's used as an adjective or an adverb, again, this is what I found out because y'all, if you don't know by now, I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm not that good in English. Where I found words to be difficult, so I'm trusting what I studied on this one. When it's used as a adjective or an adverb describing a woman, it's always translated virtuous or virtuously. However, when the same Hebrew word is translated in reference to men, as it is more frequently translated in reference to men, it is always translated by such words as strong, valiant, worthy, etc. And its most common translation is army. Now let this sink in just a minute. What the writer of Proverbs here was telling us, what we are being shown, is that the virtuous woman, the ideal woman, is a woman who is strong, brave, industrious, trustworthy, and worth an entire army to her husband and her children. What a huge, powerful word it is when you find out what it means. That's the kind, ladies, that's how you're looked at, how you should be looked at. Now I realize that I've taken plenty of pot shots at ladies in the past, and I will in the future, but not today. You are worthy of honor, and you're worthy to be addressed in such a fashion of today. This is a woman as God intended a woman to be. Again, I'm asking, these are some stuff I want us to grasp a hold of. This is how God meant for it to be. This is the ideal, if you will, of how it was supposed to be. Most importantly, and most especially, she is a godly woman. First and foremost, she is a godly woman. The Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. These are verses 30 and verse 28 of Proverbs 31. She gets praise from her husband. Her children call her blessed because of how she's lived and the way she's done for them. This morning I'm going to be using this verse as a springboard to look into the characteristics of a godly mother. This is something that sadly the world has done all that it can to devalue and attempt to minimize as much as possible. And that's a shame. It is nothing less than just another attempt of Satan to destroy the home. Because if he destroys the home, folks, he's destroyed everything. Because remember, the first institution that was ever set up by God is the home. Even before worship, it was the home. Beloved, there's nothing more important than your home. And I can speak for this for both the fathers and the mothers. There should be no place in the world that at the end of the day that you'd rather be than home. You should cherish the time that you spend with one another. Now, Elaine and I are truly blessed. We spend all of our time together. No, I'm kidding. I love the fact that we spend all of our time together. It is a blessing from God to be able to do so. Cherish the time you have.
Amen.
Because before you turn around, it's gone. And the next thing you know, that big old house that you live in, and I say it, I use a term like that, and then all of a sudden it's an empty house except for yourself. It's a big old house. And then the only thing you have is memories. You may have a lot of good ones. My point is, cherish the time you have now. Cherish what God has given you. The world tries to take everything away from a home. You know, everybody's supposed to just use a home as a landing pad, basically. Everybody does their own thing. You know, the best time, when at all possible. Now, there are times when it is impossible. I understand that. There's times when you know, there's shift work, and the first may work the second shift or the third shift. I understand that. But when possible, there's nothing like supper time. Always like supper time. You know, that was the time when you got together and you shared your day. That was the time when you could relax and just enjoy what was set before you. This is one thing I have understood. I don't know how much of my notes I'm going to get through this morning, but I feel bullied this way, and that's where I'm pulling. I don't know where or when it happened that you just didn't eat what was put in front of you. I was never asked what I wanted for supper. When supper time came, it was set on the table, and you had two choices. Eat it or not. But you know what? It was all good. Everything was good. And I tell you something else, as a result, contrary to what you might see with some today, you ask my wife, or you could have asked my mom at one time, but because of that, I'm not a picky eater. I'll eat just about anything.
It shows.
It shows. It shows well. Only another fat guy can say that. Some may look at this ideal that's set up here before us and think that it's something that is impossible to attain. There's no way that I can do that. However, with the help of the Lord, it is quite possible. We have in our lives seen many women who fit this description. You remember the old Andy Griffith show? If you do, you remember Aunt B. Now, take the pearls off and the fancy dress that I can remember where there was a whole lot of Aunt B's around. What would it be like finding a needle in a haystack today? But I can remember when they were around. All of them desired no praise from anybody because they were doing the things they wanted to do. They were doing the things that they felt necessary to do. If this comes off wrong, I apologize now. But they were doing their job. That was what they did. They contributed. And they contributed much, did they not? To everything would be on. And you know something else? They were They knew the value of a dollar bill. It used to be an old saying, how did this go? A husband could bring $100 a day in the front door, and she could take $110 out the back door the same day. The godly woman was frugal. That don't mean you can't have things. That don't mean you can't get things like that. That doesn't mean you can't get something for yourself now and then. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is the value of a dollar. And that's something that I think many times we fail to teach our children, is the value of a dollar. It's also a fact the world wants to obscure that raising a Christian family should be a priority of any believing parent. And in the home, the mother plays a vital role in making this happen for her husband and for her children and for her home. A vital role. So, for the remaining time, let's take a close look at the characteristics, some of the characteristics of a godly mother. We'll not cover them all by no means. First one we'll look at, I think is where it starts, is a godly mother fears the Lord. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. This is the proper foundation. This is the proper beginning. We must possess a reverential fear of the Lord. He is our Creator, after all. He is our Sustainer. He is the one who blesses us. We are what we are by the grace of God, as it's been said in the Scripture. We have what we have. We have the abilities we have because of God. You know, think of it this way. Think about how God has blessed us in some of the things that we just take for granted. For example, He could have created us in such a way as that we do not have a taste palate. What I'm saying is, we would not be able to enjoy something that was sweet. We would not be able to enjoy something that was to our liking. Everything would just be bland. We'd eat, we'd be spanked. That would be how we were created, but God didn't do that. He created us in a way that we can enjoy the things that He's given us. He could have created us so that all we see is black and white. And I'm not talking about in matters of life. I'm talking about as you look around, all you can see is black and white, like a little black and white television set. But He didn't do that. He blessed us in a way that we can see and appreciate the color and appreciate His handiwork when we see it in nature. Amen. He could have created us so that we couldn't hear a thing. We could have all been created deaf. We've existed, but we can enjoy the songs that the bird sings. We can enjoy conversation with each other. We can enjoy the many blessings that come from being able to hear. I'm saying that to emphasize the point that we must begin with a reverential fear of God Almighty for what He has done for us. Wisdom is something that everybody should desire to have as much of as possible. Wisdom will only be granted or given by God. You can't attain wisdom by work. You can't attain wisdom by experience. That's why sometimes, if you ever know somebody, some people keep making the same stupid choices over and over and over and over again. They don't have the wisdom to understand that if you start out this way, this is how it's going to end. Wisdom is what keeps us from again, how many times do you ever hear your mama say, boy or girl, you don't have sense enough coming out of the rain. Did you ever hear that growing up? Or you didn't have sense enough to do some other things I'm not going to mention. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's a lack of wisdom. The wisdom to know. And the wisdom that we could get by with today and tomorrow and the days ahead, and the wisdom that we can gain that's even greater than what we have, is wisdom that can be given to us by God if we'll ask Him for it. Think about Solomon. Solomon was about to take over as the king. I don't find him anywhere in the scripture where he desired to be the king. It's not something that he sought, but it was something that was granted to him. And remember how when God came to him in the night, God asked him, he said, what would you like to have? And the only thing he asked for was the wisdom to be able to rule God's people. And boy, he got it, didn't he? Wisest man that ever lived apart from Jesus. Beloved, we can have the wisdom that we need if we'll ask for it. There is no way, no way, that any person will have any wisdom at all apart from having a reverential fear of the Lord. This is why there is so little wisdom in the world. We've already touched on that. Not only is there a lack of wisdom, but you notice in that verse that I read that there's understanding. So when you have a lack of wisdom, you have a lack of understanding. Why is there a lack of understanding? Because they are not following the commandments of the Lord. You will not have understanding in the world. You may have some knowledge, but you'll not have understanding. Understanding is connected to wisdom. You can show me various parts that go on different things, take it off and set it in front of me, and I'll look at it like a cat looking at a new gate. Chances are I don't even know what it is, let alone what it does. But if somebody will take the time and tell me, I can gain an understanding of what it is. I'm not saying it makes me a mechanic, far from it. But the point I'm making is, if you want to get understanding, you can get understanding, right? You just have to apply yourself. And things that you didn't know anything of before all of a sudden make sense to you. Oh, that's how it does. That's what that does. That's how that thing works. Folks, if you want wisdom, ask God for it. If you want understanding, apply yourself to what God has given you. And you apply yourself to following the commandments of God. Not the ideas and ideals of man, but the commandments of God. When it comes to the family, there is no substitute for godly wisdom. I'm going to let you know something you probably don't know. Raising children is not an easy thing to do. Amen. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Then there comes times when you just shake your head. There are times when you want to say, or may say, no, you're acting just like your mother. Or you're acting just like your father. And there's times when they rebel. That's just a part of growing up, isn't it? That's when you got to step in and say, oh, no, no, no. This ain't going to fly. You're not going to act this way. You're not going to do this. You know, when you see, well, this is worldly terminology. When you see a brat, you know, the definition of brat is a child that acts just like yours but belongs to somebody else. But when you see a brat, it is never the child's fault that they're that way. The fault is the parent who has allowed them to be that way. So we have a responsibility to raise their children, don't we? We have that responsibility. You look at today, and many homes are totally upside down with what's going on. This precept is critical to understanding a right relationship with God. When we position our hearts toward respect and awe to our Creator, then a person can praise Him properly. And that's what's needed in our homes. That's what mothers need to be doing. A godly mother will do that. This is something that a godly mother well understands. She knows she's not some kind of superwoman. That's what the world wants you to be. But they don't have to be a superwoman. Just be yourself. And allow God to work in your life. That's the key. That's how success is gained. His wisdom is something that will stand the test of time. His wisdom is as much true today as it's ever been. It's not changed. She understands that there's nothing more important for a family than to have godly wisdom. That's why daily devotions in the Word of God is so important. That's why understanding of looking into God's Word is so important. Next one, a godly woman will seek knowledge. Proverbs 15 and verse 14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." We touched on this a good little bit a few minutes ago. While wisdom is something that's given to us by God, you have to work for knowledge. You just don't get it. You have to work for it. You have to apply yourself to get it. That's what frustrates me when you see somebody that is not motivated. You ever see somebody like that? They have all the ability in the world. They have all the talent to be able to do things. They could be something. And they're absolutely content to do nothing. That's frustrating to me. Because, well, it's just to leave it there. That is frustrating to me to the nth degree. Too many people today are content to let other people think for them. God gave you a brain. God gave you the ability to gain knowledge. Do it. Do it. Seek every day. Seek to learn something. You know, you're never too old to learn. There's an adage, an old thing goes out that I disagree with greatly. And they make the comment and say, "Well, you know, you can teach an old dog new tricks." I kind of resent that idea myself, because you're never too old to learn. If you want to, you just have to apply yourself. And that's what mothers do. They want to learn different ways to be able to make the home function better. Different ways to be able to help. Different ways to be able to understand. But I tell you what, the more I'm around, the more I see teenage girls, the more I'm glad that I had a son. They ain't nearly as complicated. Man, if I had to deal with a daughter, boarding school. But you know what? We love our children with all our heart. And we would be, and to tell you what, whenever something happens to one of them, when somebody does something, Mama Bear comes out, doesn't she? And she's ready to bow or whatever happens to get in the way. A very important thing that mothers need to understand is the example that they're setting for the family, because it's been said, and it's been well stated, that a child learns what it sees. If all it sees is a critical mother, then that child's going to be critical, right? If all that's around is a mother who is constantly, that child can't do anything right in the eyes of the mother, then that child's going to cower away and withdraw into a shell. If a child sees and hears the mother belittling the father all the time, then there'll be no respect for the dad. But by the contrast, if that child sees the right example, then he'll be the well-rounded type of child that you have to be. Not saying, you know, if you had the bad side, it's not saying that you can't overcome it, because you can. But it is a battle. It's something that's very difficult to do. When you think about a child learns what it sees, this is something that should be a very, very sobering act. Sobering fact. Well, I tell you what, sometimes when you see stuff and you think it's cute when they're 2, 3, 4 years old, all of a sudden it's not so cute when they're 12, 13, 14. The best time to do is deal with it when you can, when it's young. As Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud. Yeah. I like that Barney Fife job. The knowledge that we're talking about now is something that covers a wide area of life. It's the knowledge that covers the things that we deal with, the things that we're up against day by day. We also see that this proverb can apply to everybody, but it's especially important for mother. She should seek wise counsel. gain knowledge and wisdom. The worst place that you can try to find counsel is on television set. You're not going to find it there. You may find counsel, but this is not wise counsel. You find wise counsel if you go to somebody, go to a Christian brother or sister who's been around a little while. Or maybe not, that exudes wisdom. They're the kind of person that will listen to you. Because you know what? A godly person will not break their necks to go tell what you told them. You can trust them. Just like they should be able to trust you. And sometimes, even if they don't give you any advice, it helps you just to be able to get it off your chest. And while you're talking about it and you're hearing what you're saying, you may come up with a solution on your own. My point is, don't look to the world for wisdom. Don't look for knowledge or counsel. It's foolishness all you're going to get. Listening to foolishness instead of things of God will always lead to ruin. It always has and always will. It's a road that has no promise to it. It is a road that is a dead end, if you will. It's a road that ends in nothing but despair. That's all it's ever done. That's all it ever will do. And in some cases, it'll lead to destruction. You don't want to... I've always joked about that, as this was the person I was going to preach on Mother's Day. And of course, I'm just kidding when I do so, but it does kind of fit right here. Look for the road that Jezebel took led her. It led her to utter destruction. Wicked, wicked woman. And we could go on the rest of the time I have and talk about her. But beloved, don't make foolish choices. Because you know what? Those choices that we make have consequences. Without fail, they have consequences. And sometimes we may not like them. But as we got what we had coming. Now here's one that's going to be popular. I can just imagine how popular this one will be. But a godly mother will submit to her husband. That's scripture, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, this is something that needs to be understood and not taken out of context. And what I mean is, this is not a license for the husband to be an ogre. Amen. He has no right to be abusive. He has no right to lord over his wife. He has no right to be an ogre. That's not what it's saying. Because, you know, it also, I didn't include it here, but it also says that husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. So that's the other side of the coin. But that's not what I'm looking at today. I want to look at this part. A mother's role should always be understood and applied through the lens of submission to her husband. To look at what to do. Also, again, the husband is not to seek to dominate his wife or to exercise oppressive authority. Then I've seen homes where wives are, they're just little mouses. Why? Because of the way the husband is. And it's not right. That's not how God intended it. He took out of Adam's rib, right? To be a part of him. The Bible tells us she is to be his helpmeet. Not his footstool. Not his doormat. But his helpmeet. Tell you what, fellas, this may hit, but if it hits, it hits. Fellas, you're an idiot if you don't listen to your wife. You're a total idiot. Now you may not, I'm not saying that she's perfect, that everything she tells you is going to be right. You may ignore it, but at least listen. Because you know what? I tell you for a fact, the lady stopped me from making a lot of blunders. When I say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And she'd say, "That never worked." And it's always found, well, why? And I'm told. And there has been more one occasion when I've said, thought to myself, I'll never give it to her. I never tell her she's right, you know. I'll just say things to myself. I said, you know, she's right. Listen. She is your help me. Let her help you. It was what she can. These are very clear biblical teachings. Did you know that submission to the husband is a blessing? Why is it a blessing? Because of what God says to do. And God will bless you when you obey His word. This is something that honors God's design and plan for a marriage relationship. This is the plan for a home to work. There has to be structure within the home. And God has ordained that the man, the husband, is the head of the house. My brother-in-law, whenever they were discussing something, and he did what I had to know my sister-in-law, wonderful person, but boy, she couldn't yammer. And when my brother-in-law, who just never has a whole lot to say, when he had enough, he would say, the lion has roared. That simply meant prophet. This is how it's going to be one way or the other. And as head of the house, he has the responsibility to do that, does he not? May not always be right, but that's the responsibility that he has. You cannot fail when you follow God's plan for whatever it may be. God will always bless you when you honor Him. This is the way that you can show that you believe His word by doing what it says. Few things come under as much attack in the world as this one precept. Boy, it's under attack everywhere you turn. The world wants us to believe that everyone in the home is an equal partner. Newsflash. That's baloney. That's garbage. People in a home they're not an equal partner. Not by the fact, the way that God had set it up. You know, the father is the head of the house. The husband is the wife is the guy of the house. And the children are children. They're not adults. They're children. You want to ask them something? Well, sure you can. But the children don't run the house. Now, I've seen where children would ask, well, I've seen where parents would ask a child, do you mind if we do this? Well, that's a sentence I never heard in my home. I was told this is what we're going to do. To which my response was, all right. I didn't have a say. We've lost the structure of the home. The home is nothing any more than so many places as a house or a place where folks live. It's not a home. There's a difference. A home is where things run according to God's plan. And it cannot nor will not fail. No home will function as it should when there's no biblical order in the home. Heard a fella say one time in one of his routines, he was a comedian, and he said, I'm not the head of my house. He said, I don't know when I lost the job. I don't think I ever had it. But I've seen the job and I don't want it. Well, guess what? You got it when you got married. And where I talked about a minute ago, where children learn where they see, where does a child learn where does a boy learn how to be a husband? He ought to learn by watching his dad, right? How the dad takes care of the affairs at the home. And lastly, not all I have, but it's all I'm going to get to. A godly mother is trustworthy. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. so that he shall have no need of spoil. He trusts her. He doesn't have to get out and by hook or crook get everything he can, because he trusts her with what he has. You know, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, at the end of payday, you know, I did it when I worked at the mines after I was married. When I come home, I brought my check and gave it to my wife. I trusted her with it. I didn't wonder, you know, is she gonna take it and do this, that, or the other with it, or is she gonna do what it was supposed to do? I didn't question that. Thought everything was done that was supposed to. Today, Sister Helena gave my check. It's in my wallet. It'll stay there only until I get home. Because I know better than up there. But you understand, trustworthy. The most important human relationship there is, bar none, earthly speaking now, is a relationship that a mother has with her husband. That marriage relationship is the closest bond in the whole wide world. It is the only bond, for the Bible says that the two shall become one. One flesh. Children are important. We love and cherish our children, but it's not the same. It's simply not the same. And if it come down, if it ever come down, for example, to between, I had to make a choice between Joshua and Lane, you know, Joshua just means how shame. The relationship with the wife is first, right?
Yeah.
But it's proper to be. She is to behave in a trustworthy fashion, trustworthy manner. Don't give a reason for the husband not to trust you. She'll be truly respected and will prove worthy of the faith placed in her. When this happens, her husband has absolutely nothing to worry about. You know, I've noted instances when a wife has passed away and they started taking care of the affairs and getting everything done, that you know what, they found out that she had, for example, credit cards that nobody knew she had. That's kind of sneaking around to do stuff, isn't it? And that's not right. You need to be up forth and up front with what you're doing. This will honor the husband in that relationship, which you prove to be trustworthy. Also, I want to mention that there are times when a mother has given no reason to be thought of as untrustworthy, but the husband regards her as untrustworthy and treats her as though she's untrustworthy. There's no reason. There, one of those unbecoming character flaws that there is in human nature is jealousy. And sadly, there are husbands that are that way. Trust your wife. Trust her. If she has given you a reason to ask her what's going on, you might find out that there's something good, that there's nothing wrong in what was going on. Because, ladies, you need to remember one thing. Once trust is lost, it's very difficult to regain it. It can. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. A godly mother is always trustworthy. And a home that has no trust will have no peace. Characteristics of a godly mother. I'm going to give you those if you want to look at them later you can. A godly mother does not seek external beauty alone. 1 Peter 3:4. You know, there's nothing wrong with a goodly appearance. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But when beauty becomes foremost at the expense of serving the Lord, then you got a problem. You know, there's millions of dollars spent every year to have operations just alter a person's appearance one way or the other. That's a waste of surgeon skill when I look at it. You are the way you are. No point in changing it. And buddy, the beauty product business is booming. Again, there's nothing wrong with making yourself as pretty. You know, a lot of times a pretty young lady doesn't need a lot. You know, I hate to see somebody that's naturally pretty put their makeup on and putty on. You know, that's just, I don't care for that. That's just a thing with me. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with making it. Make yourself feel good. But don't do it at the expense of everything else. Don't do it at the expense of your family. A godly mother gives her children back to God, like Samuel did. Like Hannah did with Samuel and all the things that were there. So keep these things in mind. Be thankful for what your mom has done for you and what she is continuing to do for you. May not be as much as it once was, but she's still serving a vital role in your life, a vital place. And take this time, take this day to remember your mom. Honor her, cherish her, as has already been said, and love her above all things. And I think that's God's will for us. And remember the characteristics that a godly mother has in moms. There's no reason why you can't attain all of them. By God's help. Let us pray.